You're listening to From a Stranger to a Stranger. My name is Issa Martel, and this is part two of a little bit about conversion issues, meaning when you convert to a different religion or ideology than the one you're raised upon or your family is part of or what have you. So I hope you listen to part one, and I'm just going to go right into it. I thought of some things to continue going with, and I'll talk a little bit about marriage or finding a spouse or this whole process. Once you convert to a different religion, I'm going to use myself and Islam as the default example here, and specifically from the perspective of a male living, being raised in the Northeast Pennsylvania, or Northeast United States in Pennsylvania, and the issues I faced and continue to still face, even though I live in the Midwest now. So when you are a Muslim and you want to practice your religion, and you're looking for a spouse, a Muslim man can, from a religious perspective or a religious standpoint, marry another Muslim or a person from the people of the book, which is a category of people that generally consist of Christians and Jews. So you have, in general, broad generalizing here, you have the choice of marrying a Muslim, a Christian, or a Jew. Now, obviously here in America, if you're not marrying a Muslim, marrying a Christian would be the easiest other option, because that's what most of the people are. For myself, I had decided when I was considering trying to get married and do this part of my life, which wasn't initially. Initially, I wasn't about marriage at all. But later on, of course, I did want to get married. I had made the choice that I would marry another Muslim. And the reasons why are purely because I don't think that I would have been able to deal with marrying someone, a Christian. I'll just speak about Christianity here. I'd have issues with marrying a Christian because of the vast difference in theological ideology. Now, if it was just myself and my wife, and say she was Christian, I don't really think this would be much of an issue. It'd be an issue for me personally. Like, it would mainly be Christmas and Easter would be my big issues. And if the house wanted to be decorated with a Christmas tree and all this type of stuff, I would have serious problems with that. And it's not based on... It's based on a lot of things. And it's not based on the fact that it's not Islamic, but... the Christmas tree and all these aspects of Christmas are not even Christian. So it's like a very multi-layered thing that I have a problem with Christian or Christmas. Sorry. It's, like I said, multi-layered. It's not just a thing about Christianity. So that would be a problem. But if I had gotten married to a Christian woman and she kind of was on my same wavelength and was like, yeah, I'm not into having Christmas trees and this and that, we don't have to do that, then that might have been cool. But there are other aspects, like her family, or are they practicing Christians, or whatever the case. But that even can be put aside, because it's really would be your life or my life. And if, while the families play a big importance, that's ultimately, from my perspective, it's not about them, it's about you. So your happiness trumps their happiness. But what ultimately it came down to was the fact that while initially I didn't go into marriage thinking about having children, the possibility of having children was always there. Certainly that's typically a byproduct of marriage, is having children. And looking ahead, I thought that this would be where the issue comes from, having parents that do not have the same religion or the same ideological thought or whatever, because you're going to have, obviously there's going to be I don't know what would happen. I mean, but to me, the fact that you would have to teach your you ultimately are disagreeing with your spouse, like in my case it would have been the child's mother, about what is ultimate reality. You know, so as a child, I would imagine there would be confusion. Which one would the child believe? You know, which one would the child be drawn to? Ultimately, being a Muslim, I would want the child to be raised as a Muslim. But then there would be this aspect of Christianity. And the thing with it is that the concept, while the Christmas and Easter, like the holiday aspect, is one thing, but the fundamental doctrine of Christianity is so much different than Islam that it would be a massive, massive problem. And it's the doctrine of God. Like, the definition of God is completely, from an Islamic point of view, the Christian perspective is, you know, monotheistic. It's a triune God. So that would be the main issue. How do you rectify that? What do you teach the kid? You know, the kid's going to naturally ask, you know, why does mom believe this? Or why, maybe the, like, to the mother, why does dad believe this? And why don't you believe that? Or whatever. And from my point of view, coming from a family that one is divorced, and with the issues that that bring, and two, basically is non-religiously practicing anymore. When I was young, they practiced, but it kind of just faded away. So that aspect, I feel that it's best, and I would hope that studies confirm this, that the best setting for a child is one where both parents are in somewhat unison, and both parents are raising the kid together, as opposed to divorced and all these other issues that come about. But I wanted my spouse to be on the same page with religion. It's like, okay, that's one thing we can be. We have a basis then to kind of go off of. This is what we believe in the general sense. So from there, we can address things as they come along and have kind of like a backbone default setting to go to. That being said, I also thought, though, that if I didn't marry a Muslim, I would much rather marry a Jew than a Christian. And I don't know even if that would be possible, because the Jewish community, I'm sure, is way more tight-knit than Christian community. But between Judaism and Islam, there is so much similarity that in a general sense, the main difference is that obviously Jews don't accept Jesus or Muhammad, peace be upon them, as prophets. So, you know, they, anything that comes from them, they don't accept. But prayer is very similar. Aspects of the religion are similar, right? The understanding of God is pretty similar. I mean, and more importantly, their holidays that they celebrate are events that Muslims believed happened, right? So Muslims believe in Moses. They believe the whole thing that also Jews believe. Whereas Muslims don't, we don't believe in that Christmas. We don't believe in anything that is modern day Christmas. We don't believe. We don't believe Jesus was born in December, obviously. We don't, all that is connected to paganism. We don't believe in Easter. We don't believe that Jesus died and came back 3 days later and rose from the dead. We don't believe that at all. So those being the two main holidays in Christianity ultimately conflict with what, you know, I would believe anyway. And knowing myself, I would have problems with that. With children. So, I kind of put forth to marry a Muslim woman. So this presents its own set of interesting challenges that one then faces being a convert and an American. And that is, if you notice, most convert Muslims marry someone who is from an ethnicity that is culturally Islamic. Like, their country has been Muslim for hundreds and hundreds of years. And that's where they come from. Typically, like, I'm speaking about immigrants, or some Muslims actually marry Muslims from overseas somewhere. But they're always from countries that we would call Muslim countries. So, you know, we have to ask ourselves, why do people do this? Why do Americans do this? Why, what's wrong, or not necessarily wrong as in a bad sense, but why don't you marry an American, right? You certainly have more in common with an American if you are an American that was raised, born and raised here, then converted to the religion. You certainly would have way more things in common with someone who was also born and raised here and converted to the religion. And what I've come to realize is that from my experience, it appears that these people that marry a foreigner, for even though if they're an American, but they're like the children of immigrants or whatever, they have a need to feel belonging, and that was kind of like their adopted family, you know, because now they're Muslim and they want to feel like the quote-unquote Muslim experience. So they'll marry into a family structure that is Muslim, and they can then live out their, you know, life in that regards and experience one half of their family anyway, being Muslim and getting all the Muslim holidays and all this to go. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. I think that not marrying, I think that you're doing a disservice to your own culture by doing that, especially as a convert. I realized in my, for myself, living overseas, I realized that what I would really have in common with someone who wasn't an American is the religion. That's really the main commonality I have. Let's say with someone who's, I was living in Morocco, so let's say I'm Moroccan. Unless the family, the Moroccan family, was part of the upper class and they spoke English and were well traveled, so they experienced the whole lot, I would have to, I would get along with them because those people typically went to the American schools. And even in foreign countries, we have the American schools. Like, there's the American school in Marrakesh, so it's taught an American curriculum and speaks English, but it's in a different country. So there are these schools all over the world, if you're unaware that they exist, but they exist. So in this regards, I wouldn't have any problems. But marrying someone from them that level of society, I wouldn't be able to do, because while I am an American and understand that, financially I'm not on that same page. So that becomes a challenge then. So financially, the people who you can marry then typically are lower income people from these countries. And that's where then I would have issues. And the issue might be my own shortcomings, because they'd be extremely challenging. One with language. In Morocco, I could speak some of the dialect of Moroccan, but to have real deep conversation where we're talking about stuff and knowing that we would be on the same page would be difficult if we can't communicate fluently with each other. So this is a problem with marrying someone from overseas or something like that. Also, too, my interests outside of the religion have no interest. Like, the interests that I have outside of the religion, you would have to be somewhat educated or from a different class of people to have that same interest. And finding those people are kind of difficult. So there were the immigrant generation of kids here. Like, their parents came over and now they had kids. And when I was, like, in my 20s, they were, like, 20 or, you know, in college or whatever. The problem with this here, now that everyone's in America now, they're Americans, but they're second generation Americans. The problem is typically two with these people. One is that their family, their dad is most likely a doctor or an engineer, so they have, I don't want to say they're wealthy, but they're clearly probably from the upper middle class or solid middle class or solid upper middle class. So therefore you have the gap there between myself financially and these people. Because really I come from like poorness, you know, even though it may not appear that we're poor. We might be lower middle class, my parents, but that's it, like barely. Well, this was back then. Now, my mother and my stepfather are probably solid. They're doing well. There's that. But this was back on 20 years ago, and you know, I didn't really have any real decent job. I'm basically in my 20s as well. So these people were kind of out of the question then, because of the level of status in our society. On top of that, this is even more an issue, is that the attitude people have towards you as someone who converted to the religion is that you really don't know the religion as much as they do. Because that's their religion, you know, and you just converted to it. And the reality on this is that most people who convert know more of the core tenets of the religion and understand them better than people who are raised in the religion, because they're bringing aspects of their culture that aren't necessarily aspects of the religion into it. So, one, they might not want you in their family because they know that you're going to call them out on stuff that they're culturally doing. And not all things you do culturally are bad, but maybe there are things that they're claiming are from the religion, but they're not. And you're saying, but, you know, that's not part of the religion, so it's going to cause drama. And they know this and they don't want this. Because you're too quote-unquote religious, you know. Even though you're not really religious, you just understand the religion because you read, like, your introduction to the religion was from the religion, not from your culture. So you actually read it, you know, you read, okay, and you based your opinions on this, not whatever else. So there's that issue, and I found that issue to be more prevalent among the people that I came in contact with and whom I knew. And that's like, you're not really accepted. You're accepted because it's like the proper thing to do is to accept you, but you're not really accepted in the full sense of the word. And you know, it's then becomes a problem. So that goes to then converts marrying converts. And now where I'm at in my life, I'm a convert. My wife's a convert. And really the people that we know that might have, obviously everybody has their own family issues, but the people that we can relate to probably the most are other convert and convert couples, you know, because they're going through the same issues, you know. They have the same, everyone's American, you know, so everybody's parents are not Muslim, and so we have shared experience in this way. And unfortunately, we exist outside of the mainstream community in the Twin Cities here. Though everybody knows us. I mean, we're known in the community, but it's like our life is outside of the community in like a mental thinking way. And it's not bad, like we're not doing crazy things or anything like that, but it's more like challenging positions, based, it's basically calling people out on stuff, and that when once you do that and you do it in a manner that is bringing awareness to issues. And I say calling people out, but I don't mean in a negative way, but I mean like, hey, look, you know, these are things that need to be addressed. Like, I'll give you an example, and that is here, and this is here in Minneapolis, but it is the same in any major city in the U.S. All the mosques are broken down into immigrant ethnicities. So there's like the Somali area mosques, there's the Pakistani mosques, there's the, the Moroccans all go to one mosque. And so this is how it is. And there's no American mosque, right? So there's nothing that's like, oh, the converts built this mosque, you know what I mean? And there's, you know, that's an issue. That's an issue because now we're not really, we're not unwelcomed, right? Everyone's going to welcome you. It's not like the feeling that it's your mosque or your, you can insert if you're a Christian or Jew or whatever, you can insert whatever you are, that space doesn't feel like it's yours. Like, oh, these are my people. Yes, they're my people in the sense that they're Muslim, but they're not my people in the sense that they weren't freaking doing drugs, drinking, partying, doing all this stuff, and then became Muslim. So they don't understand it in that level because they were born, raised Muslim. So what they talk about is not the same needs that I need to be addressed. Like when I go to a lecture, I want to hear things like, I don't know what, things that like would benefit me, maybe perhaps with interfamily relations, dealing with like, because my family's not Muslim, so where's the stuff on addressing that? And not just some lame crap, you know what I mean? Like, be nice to your mother or something like that. And even that, I won't even buy, because if your mother or your parents aren't nice people, they don't deserve to be treated nicely, you know? So, there's a whole lot of stuff, but our needs as American converts are not being met. Let's just put it that way. And these people that run all these organizations, even to the highest national level organizations like CARE and ISNA, they are run by foreigners with a foreigner mentality, not addressing, not unifying or addressing issues. And unfortunately, it's a problem. And as a convert, until you converted to the religion, you would never even know this. This is like stuff that goes on, and you're not even made aware of it. And you might not even see it until you're into it. Like, for example, for me. And it's not bad. Like, in a general sense, it's not bad. I mean, these people aren't intentionally doing bad things. But it's just something that needs to be dealt with. and something that needs to be improved upon and something that needs to be made aware that it's going on. What the bad, quote-unquote bad thing is that they are not putting Americans into positions of leadership, like American converts. And that, from my experience and my viewpoint, is the biggest problem and the biggest missed opportunity that's going on right now with regards to this. So I'll continue this in another part later, because I'm kind of getting into talking about these things. But I'm going to end this one now. Thanks for listening. Assalamu alaikum. Peace be unto you.